Beautiful job, worship team. Yes, you may be seated. I'm really glad you could come and join us for this special chapel service celebrating Easter with our friends from Foster College. I especially am grateful for the privilege of introducing our speaker for the day, Dr. Terrence Ford. He has, you know, he is in some ways, we were using this term the other day in our executive cabinet meeting, he is a unicorn, you know, all the things that come together in him that make him just the right president for Foster College during this time. It's a real privilege to watch what's happening there. He has had 27 years of experience as a senior pastor, both in Florida and Texas. His educational background is impeccable, has a degree from Florida A&M, a bachelor's degree from Florida A&M, and then I don't know what that's about, but that's fine. Somebody needs to celebrate it, right? But then a THM from Dallas Theological Seminary as well, and finally a PhD from the same place I got my PhD, at the University of Texas at Arlington. And when I sat down with him early on in his presidency, very early on, he was gracious enough to sit down with me. We met at a restaurant. We're just talking about things that were going on at our schools. And he told me all that he had in mind for his school. I just thought, man, good luck with that. That is a lot. The man has a big vision for Foster College. And the fact that I'm saying to you Foster College today is an indication of just how real the fulfillment of that vision can be. So I kid you not about this, to take as big a swing, I was saying to his wife, Sahi, and we're honored to have you here as well today, by the way. I was saying to her a minute ago that this is the truth, to take swings that big and actually get there with a school with your history, with the length of your history and the historical significance that you've already had, to be able to make the turns and the changes that you've made and see success at it. That's a great testimony to your leadership, brother. So I'm honored really to be a president with you in the same city and to be able to serve Christ together with you. And so I want y'all to join me in welcoming Dr. Terrence Ford for our message today, please. All right.
Good morning. I need to make sure I'm on. I'm good? Okay. Good. It is certainly a joy and a pleasure always to come and be a part of any experience here at Criswell College. Of course, with our good friend and brother, beloved Dr. Creamer, and so many others that we have had relationship with at some level. And we're growing relationship, and we thank God for that. And to all of our Foster College students and faculty and staff who's journeyed here to be with us today in this chapel, we are grateful that the Lord has allowed us to serve his kingdom in our lifetime together. And so we do this to the glory of God. One thing I've learned after 22 years here in Dallas and 5 years in Florida of pastoring is that a message can be eternal without being everlasting. I'm going to get that. All right. So let's go in prayer for a moment. Father, we thank you just for this moment in the history of humanity, that we have an opportunity to demonstrate to the world that our artificial boundaries and lines and expectations are superseded by our relationship and love for you. And so, Lord, in this chapel, in this moment, we pray for the visitation of your spirit in our hearts, unpacking our minds and understanding of your word, but also command our hands and our feet to do your will and to bring you glory. We thank you in advance for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the Resurrection Chapel, Easter Chapel, and it brings us into a season that we're all familiar with. Each year during this season, worshipers across the world, and honestly, in various categories of worshipers, will come together for a special purpose. And when I talk about various categories, there are those full-timer worshipers, there are part-timer worshipers, they're two-timer worshipers, you know, Christmas and Easter. And there's once upon a timer worshipers who haven't been to church or worship since they were little or since they had some church hurt. All across this world, all across this globe, people will be gathering, worshipers will be gathering to journey back to Calvary to stand in awe and in remembrance of what Jesus did there. In most situations, the guiding and those guiding the tour will quickly zoom in on the agony of the experience Christ endured in order to gloriously make salvation available to the world. We spotlight the cross. We highlight that experience. We focus intently on what happened. And truly, that observation is the most important one to highlight at Calvary. However, I've come to discover that this place and scene, it exposes another agenda of Christ in addition to the magnanimous one of salvation. Salvation is important, but the wider frame of this narrative reveals that at Calvary, Christ not only purposed to provide a way for everlasting salvation, he also determined to establish a path for eternal relationship. You see, the cross is designed to not only bring us unto salvation through Christ, but to also bring us into relationship with Christ. And whenever we think about the cross of Calvary, not only should we have a flashback to the moment of our salvation, but we should also flash forward with the hope of enduring relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that all of those who will travel and pack churches out this season, many will come to observe the salvation agenda. But oftentimes we forget about the relationship agenda. I'm convinced that the reason many believers become complacent soon after the benediction is given on this annual celebration of the risen Christ is because the salvific passion of the cross celebrated in the moment is not transitioned into a momentum of ongoing relationship with the Savior. They'll dress up nice and they'll show up for Mama and Nana. But what will happen after they have this great celebration of the cross? Will they have an enduring relationship with Jesus Christ? It's much like the excitement expressed at the yearly celebration of a wedding anniversary versus the everyday joys you ought to experience in the intimate moments of married life. We just had our youngest daughter to get married, and she's excited about the wedding. She had this great, beautiful wedding. I said, but don't forget about the marriage. Because once the balloons are deflated and the cake has been eaten, the real work begins. It's so often that many who become more excited about celebrating the gift of salvation in Christ forget about living the saved daily life with Christ, and more importantly, for Christ. And so this Passion Week, and especially Resurrection Sunday, we're going to go into our various spaces of ministry. Many of you perhaps will be preaching the message. If not, you'll be ministering to others who've come to hear the message. But I want to encourage you that as you share the wonders of how Jesus died and rose to save us, be sure to also highlight the fact that he also died and rose to have an eternal relationship with us. Don't just celebrate the agenda of salvation. Remember the agenda of relationship. And so as we gather together yet another year around that center cross at Calvary. For a few minutes today, I'd like for us to take a short tour of the cross next door. Sunday, you're going to really camp out at the middle cross. But let's talk about the cross next door. So, Luke chapter 23, verses 32 and 33, and then we'll continue that particular episodic focus in verses 39 through 43. So, Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 32, Luke records, two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Narrative picks up at verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." He was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he, Jesus, said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Yes. Yes. Let's talk about the cross next door. And although there are two crosses next door to Jesus' cross in the middle, we're not going to concern ourselves today with that crazy neighbor in verse 29. That's a whole nother sermon. It's the cross of the other neighbor. In verse 40, we want to visit with, who not only realized the gift of salvation found at Calvary, but he also discovered the joy and the benefit of having a relationship with Jesus. He had a unique vantage and perspective from the cross next door. Remember that it is this cross that actually better represents our place at Calvary. More so than the cross upon which Jesus died. If you think about it, the cross where Jesus hung, we could not afford to occupy. No, as they say in poker, when the stakes are too high, it's too rich for my blood. And honestly, it's too rich for your blood too. And may I be honest? We simply do not have what it takes to hang on the middle cross. The price of the middle cross requires that the occupant be wounded for others' transgressions. That he must be bruised for someone else's iniquity. Even the chastisement of peace for people that don't even know him has to be upon him. To book that middle suite, you have to be a lamb unblemished and unspotted by the world. In fact, to be approved for that penthouse, they don't check your credit, they check your blood type. All right. Because we can't qualify. We wouldn't qualify. We couldn't qualify because the blood type has to be both sin negative and God positive. So we can't afford that middle cross. So after looking over the list price of that middle tree of Calvary, can we all admit that its cost is far more than we could ever pay? Yeah. Only Jesus can occupy that middle cross. But Jesus, knowing that the middle cross was out of our league, I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to include this narrative because Jesus wanted us to see that because you cannot occupy the middle cross, that's my cross, I want to invite you to move onto the cross next door. I believe that's what he meant in Matthew chapter 16 when he said and declared, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We can't climb on the cross that Jesus bore, but the cross that we must bear is in essence this cross next door. So for the remainder of our time together, allow me to just share a few insights from this occupant's experience that will remind us of the significance of the cross next door and the importance of the relationship with Jesus through salvation. As we interact with those who've come to be in awe of Jesus on this middle cross, before they leave your presence, before they leave the experience, invite them to move onto the cross next door. So there's the first aspect of occupying this cross next door to note, and that is the importance of the acknowledgement of who we are and what we've done. We've got to have that acknowledgement of who we are and what we've done. Verses 40 and 41a, this cross occupant understood his position. A key component of salvation through Christ and fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ is the confession of sin and the acknowledgement of the judgment deserved. It seems as though in our evangelism and in our witnessing and in our leading others to Christ, we in many ways seem as though the confession of sin and the acknowledgement of our own inability to save ourselves has been somewhat diminished and de-emphasized in the presentation of the gospel and the grace of salvation. We don't like to admit our sins. We don't like to confess all the things we've done in secret and the dark. But the truth is, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark of the standards of righteousness of God. And until this confession is sincerely made, true relationship with Jesus cannot be. Right. Yeah. It's great to admire and be in awe of Jesus' death on the cross, but your cross next door requires that you acknowledge that I've got some sin in my life. I've got to confess it as part of a relationship with the one in the middle. We cannot experience the joy of salvation without admitting our own unrighteousness. Reminds me of the man who took his three kids to the fair. And at the fair, this dad won a single toy that each of his children wanted to play with. They began to argue over who gets to play with the toy. Until finally the father said, okay, that's enough, that's enough. He said, here's the deal. Whichever one of you cleaned your room before you left home today, did all of your homework, and have always obeyed your mother, you can have the toy. So silently they stood there for a moment looking at each other. Then almost unanimously and in unison, they looked at the dad and said, well, in that case, daddy, you play with it. We have to admit and confess that we're not worthy of the cross in the middle. But we have a right and access to a relationship with the one who is there. And as we hear this great news about Jesus Christ, know that there's a part you have to play in confession. And so while celebrating the sinlessness of Jesus on the cross in the middle, remind those listening that confession is made unto salvation. And it's a requirement for those desiring to occupy that cross in the middle. But another important part to occupying the cross, other than confession, is profession. And that is the acknowledgement of who Jesus is and what he can do. In verse 41, the latter portion of verse 41 and verse 42 is where this occupant of the cross next door not only made a confession of sin, but then he made a profession
of the Savior. This particular neighbor saw that and professed Jesus to be a king with a kingdom, thus having power and authority that he did not have. He undoubtedly saw how Jesus handled his cross and realized that not only was Jesus a savior in death, but he was also a master of life. And this ought to be our goal in reaching those once a year timers and churchgoers, who those sometimey Christians, that as we interact with them during this Holy Week. Yes, you see all the great things that Jesus did. You hear of the great sacrifice he made. You know of the magnanimous salvation he delivered, but do you really profess him as Lord and Savior? Be intentional to compel them to confess their sins. Be intentional to acknowledge their spiritual inadequacies while seeing the power, the authority, and the ability of Jesus to save them. Only when they realize that Jesus alone can save them from eternal damnation and secure them in his eternal kingdom will they have that burning desire to pick up their cross and follow Jesus. That ought to be the reason. That ought to be the end goal of this Holy Week experience. Not just to celebrate the salvation of Christ, which is so important, but to also have others to see him from the vantage point of this cross next door, where they are moved and compelled to confess their sins and profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. So yes, occupying the cross next door requires confession and profession. But before we leave this scene, can we look a little closer at the expression, the tone of expression in verse 42? Notice that this man made a personal request based upon his relationship with Jesus. Man, I just met you. We've just been hanging together for a short period of time. But based upon that relationship, he was able to make a great request of Jesus. He was not asking for a passing thought or an occasional flashback. He was asking Jesus, watch this, to extend the relationship that they established at Calvary all the way into his kingdom. He didn't want to leave it on the cross. He wanted it to be extended into the kingdom. And although the relationship at this point was indeed short-lived, this thief was okay with having a long-distance connection with Jesus. He wasn't saying, I got to come with you into your kingdom. He said, I'm not asking for a hookup. I'm asking for you just to remember me. Extend this moment beyond this Calvary experience. And for many who are new to the faith will perceive that although their moment of salvation at the cross with Jesus was exciting and exhilarating, they only perceive having a distant relationship with Jesus from there. We talk a lot of church talk about Jesus living in our heart and him walking with us, talking with us. But to a new believer, they don't understand that concept. Because in the same breath, we tell them that Jesus, yes, he died, but he rose and he ascended to the Father to prepare a place for us. And he's coming back from us. That sounds like long distance. How can we have a close and intimate relationship when he's way over there? For many, once the thrill of the annual resurrection excitement has worn off, what more can they hope for? What more can they do? Well, that's why an emphasis on the ongoing and eternal relationship with Jesus must be made. And what I'm glad about and I'm grateful is that the exchange did not stop at verse 42. Thank God for verse 43. That this was not just a monologue. Jesus made it a dialogue. Jesus expressed in verse 43 that he wants nothing more than just, he wanted more than just this connectivity through salvation. He desired himself to have a residency with us through relationship. His offer was not merely a promise to send blessings from paradise, but he invites us to be with him in paradise. May I suggest to you that paradise is not in the great by and by. Paradise begins when you confess your sins and profess him as Savior, and the Holy Spirit indwells in you, and you begin this relationship with Jesus. Just being in genuine relationship with Jesus is paradise. So my brothers and my sisters, while we're gathered at the cross of Jesus this holy season, oh, we got the spotlight on that middle cross. Take a moment to wander over into that shadowed cross next door and spend some time there, remembering that that's our cross. Cross next door that we must bear, that we must occupy in relationship with Jesus. And remember to invite some others, those who are looking perplexed, those who are not really connecting the dots of why are you talking about this man's murder? Why should I get excited that they lost his body? He didn't lose his body, he rose. He died for our sins, but he rose for a relationship. Help them to understand and see themselves in this narrative. And although he did rise from the dead, ascend to the Father, and yes, he is preparing a place for us in the eternal paradise. In our present lives, we can have an intimate relationship with Jesus, even in the crosses we bear. And so, as I close, let me just call one witness to the witness stand. Fanny Crosby, I think, understood what I'm talking about. I think she understood about occupying the cross next door when she wrote, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream that flows from Calvary's mountain." In the cross, can I change that preposition? On the cross,
all right,
be my glory forever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to occupy the cross next door, because I'm right there with Jesus forever. Lord, you are so brilliant. Even in such a narrative where you express your eternal love for us, your unmerited love for us, by dying on that cross. Jesus, we know that it was not the nails that held you to the cross. It wasn't the spikes, the ropes. It was your love for us. And help us to remember the importance of our relationship as we take up our cross and follow you and always occupy that cross next door. But let us help others recognize the importance of relationship with you, and that that's where paradise begins. And in this season, may souls be saved and wayward lives be restored in right relationship with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Very beautiful. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Ford. Thank you, brother. Y'all join me standing, please. Let's all stand together, and we'll be dismissed here in just 1 second. I do have to confess, I will never hear the expression "hang together" in the same way again. And in that light, I will mention to everyone here, please join us in the courtyard for a few minutes so we can enjoy some snacks together and fellowship and hang together on that cross next door. but with each other, you know, as the Lord has given us the opportunity to experience that. So I'm going to close us in prayer. Dr. Ford, thank you for such a fine message. That, it was beautiful and compelling. So join me in prayer, please. Father, we are grateful for you, what you've called us to be and do, and we do pray that in the shadow of your cross, on the cross you've given us, we would be able to show the world the paradise that you've already invited us into, to walk with you and each other in the joy that only comes because of what you provided. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you, and we'll see you up in the courtyard.